Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have got a very interesting show tonight on dreams. We've got Kat Cannabis with us, and she is going to talk about her latest book, and it's Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Now, folks, if you have any malady at all or any dis-ease, this is definitely a show for you to listen to because it's just not about cancer, but she utilized this method in diagnosing herself, basically. And you can use the tips to figure out what's going on in your side and talk to your inner healer. Okay, so the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but you know, I always ask the question, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, and that's Intuitive Living, and that's also from my website, MoniqueChapman.com. My guest this evening, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, and I'll get that right. I keep wanting to say the cannabis like C8, the other one, but it's cannabis, has spent years studying and teaching about dreams. A 3-time breast cancer survivor who's predominantly dreams diagnosed her cancer, she credits her survival to conventional treatment combined with her dreams as a diagnostic tool. All of her cancers were missed by the medical community and the test on which they relied. Her knowledge and personal wisdom comes from the trenches of life, not from hypothetical theories. She is the author of Surviving Cancerland and the host of the Kat Cannabis Show on New Earth International Radio, a life guide coach, and an inspirational speaker. She lives in Palm Springs, California, and in Massachusetts. And you can check her out at her website, and that's KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, and that's KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. And just for our listeners, guess what? She's offering a free gift. So if you go to her website, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, and you go right to the first page, you can actually get a free gift of DreamWork 101. It's an e-course that she's offering. So welcome, Kat.
Thank you so much. I mean, I was listening to that, and I was like, I wonder who she's talking about.
Oh,
I realized
about
it was me.
Yeah, talking about you, girl. All the wonderful things that you do. Thank you so much for writing this book on dreams. You know, when you think of a dream book, you think about, you know, the dream numbers or what does a car mean or the back mean or whatever. And it's very rare that people, or at least I haven't seen it yet, that people utilize the dreams to diagnose what is going on in waking life. How did you come to this?
Well, you know, it was kind of desperate. I didn't realize that there was anything wrong with me. I had gone in for my yearly checkup. You know, we go, what I find really amazing Monique, is we go to the doctor once a year when we have no symptoms, we know nothing's wrong with us, we have no reason to really go other than to see if they can find something that is asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. But when you walk into the doctor and say, look, I had this horrible recurring nightmare, it's like, go home. There's nothing wrong with you. Nightmares, that's not a symptom. And yet it is, because we are going through the dream doorways to the divine, the sacred dream doorways to the divine. So I did go in for my yearly mammogram, blood test, pap smear, physical exam, all that stuff that we do when there was nothing there. And when I had no symptoms, and the doctors told me I was healthy and to go home. And I started to have these nightmares where I would be having my regular dream, Monique, where you just are enjoying your dream, you're in your dream, and then all of a sudden my dream would freeze, just like a page on your computer freezes. And I'd get this pop-up window in my dream, and I was like, what is that? I could see through it. Stuff was moving, and I'm going, "I, what is that? I'm dreaming this." And that makes it suddenly become a lucid dream. And that window would become a door, and then this monk walked through the door, and I'm like, what is that? It was a Franciscan monk, St. Francis of Assisi, walked through this dream door and said, come with me, I have something to tell you. And so, I followed him through the dream door, and there were other monks in this room between realms, is what I call it, and many dreamers that have emailed me tell me they have rooms between realms also. And it's an area where our deceased loved ones can come and talk to us, or our spirit guides, or our guardian angels. And these spirit guides that were monks took my hand, placed it on my breast, and said, can you feel that? And I felt something. Then I said, yeah. They said, that's breast cancer. You go back to your doctors, and you get a different set of tests. So, Monique, it took me 3 months to get three blood tests, three mammograms, three physicals, to finally convince my doctor that I needed exploratory surgery to find this breast cancer. They kept sending me home. I became the squeaky wheel that refused to take no as an answer. And during the exploratory surgery, they found that I was in stage 2 aggressive breast cancer, and it was in a lymph node. And I'm alive today because I listened to that dream.
Well, how is it that they missed it with everything that is going on? It's truly amazing.
There's about 30% of the women in the world who do not do well with mammograms, because if you're young and you have large, dense breasts, which I have, they run in my family, it just doesn't show up on mammograms. But hospitals have invested a lot of money in mammograms, and so they don't want to lose that money, and that's what they use. And that's one of the reasons why they're saying, oh, you know what, you don't really need to have a mammogram until you're in your late 50s or early 60s, because nothing is showing up before then. That's because the mammograms don't work. It's not because it's not there. And so your dreams can actually be that early warning system. I would love to see the day where a patient walks into the doctor's office and says, Doc, I had a dream, and have that doctor say, sit down, that's a symptom, tell me your dream.
Yeah, I'd love to see that too, but from my experience with, doctors, and I've got a couple of good ones and the rest are kind of so-so, they just don't believe. If it's not medical science, they just don't want to buy into it. And it's actually interesting, because I had a medical situation similar to yours. I don't remember having a dream about it, but I kept going to the doctor and telling them, well, first of all, I was like, I can't poop. I'm not pooping, and I was regular before then. And then, actually, I did have a dream about it, now that I think about it. I kept telling them that I couldn't poop, kept going. They said, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong, nothing wrong. Finally went to a surgeon, and we were just exploring the option of exploratory surgery. And that night I had a dream, and I went to the surgeon was an Indian man, and that night I had a dream, and the surgeon actually came into my dream, and he said, I'm not seeing anything medically, but I truly feel there's something there. Will you trust me? So I went back to him, and I said, yes, I trust you. And he looked at me really strange, did the surgery, exploratory like yours. My whole intestine had fused together.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, so they had to, you know, fix all of that. But it was just really weird how he came to me in the dream. So it wasn't exactly like yours, but he came to me in a dream and said, will you trust me? And
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And so from there, you know, thank goodness, because I'm still alive. Yeah. So it's amazing how these dreams can come to us in this way. Now, are there other illnesses, of course there has to be, that can be self-diagnosed, if you will, via our dreams? Are there any like telltale signs that if you're dreaming of a certain thing that you need to look at a certain area of your body?
Well, usually in the dreams there's symbolism, or you can have somebody show up in your dream like yours, where your doctor that you went to shows up in your dream and says, will you trust me? That's called dreaming in tandem. I would not have at all have been surprised if the doctor was dreaming about you while you were dreaming about him. And we talk about that in the book. It's something that used to happen in ancient Greece and ancient Egypt. And so one of the things that you want to look for if you think you're having this kind of dreams is, are they extremely emotional? Do you have this call to action with the dream where you feel like you need to do something, like you walked back into the doctor's office and you said, I trust you, you know, and it probably surprised him because he remembered in the dream him saying to you, do you trust me? So that's probably why he was really shocked. And then it's a call to action, and it won't go away. You just, you feel so driven to do something about that dream. And that's what makes it stand out from all the other dreams. And your dream is actually what we're looking for the second book. So, you know, Monica, I hope you will send me that dream, because our publisher is really pressing us for the second book quickly. Okay. So, and any of your listeners, if you had a dream like Monique's, send it to me at katkan@comcast.net, K-A-T-K-A-N, comcast.net. So, yeah, you're driven to do something. You have to do something about that dream. It won't leave you alone.
It's amazing how, you know, we get insight and we just don't necessarily pay attention, especially in the sleeping state when we wake up. So why is it so important to journal when we wake up about the dream that we had? What clues can it give us?
Well, it gives you a chance to take something that is from the fifth dimension, which is what dreams are. You know, take that and bring it down into the third dimension and look for signs and symbols in that dream that mean something to you, because you're also teaching yourself your dream language. Not everybody is lucky enough to have somebody walk up and talk to them like we did. Some of us speak to ourselves with pictures because a picture's worth a thousand words. They don't always have a lot of time in the dreams because some people's dreams are faster than others. Our dreams are as individual as the people who have them. So by writing down the signs and symbols that you see in your dream or words, maybe just one word or just one sentence, do you trust me? You know, that was a powerful sentence. If you put it in a journal, you can go back and check on it later. You can see if there's validation, because every single dream in this book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, is validated by pathology reports. So we actually used medicine, conventional medicine, to prove the dreams were true. And I don't think there's any other work out there like that. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Now, you co-wrote this book with Dr. Larry Burke from Duke University, who's a radiologist. How did a radiologist become a dream researcher?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Monique. I mean, you don't think of most doctors as getting into dreams. In fact, you kind of see them running from dreams when it comes to their practice. You've got to be very careful because, you know, like I was telling you, Dr. Larry Burke's going to be on the doctor's show. He's going to tape it this Friday, which is a big deal. But I will have to be in the audience because I dared to go on to the Dr. Oz show.
And so,
they don't want the tween to meet.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, you know, some doctors are just born intuitives, and then they go into their life work, which is what Dr. Larry Burke did. And he was getting patients, because he's a radiologist, that were saying, I had a dream about this when they were going in for mammograms or when they were going in for radiology, whatever. And he finally said, you know what, there's something to this. And so a friend of his came to him and said, you know, I had this dream that I had breast cancer. The dream kept recurring, and it was a call to action, and it wouldn't go away. I went to my doctor. My doctor told me, don't listen to dreams. Your mammograms are healthy. You're healthy. Go home. She listened to that doctor. She did not stand in her power, Monique, as a woman,
uh-huh.
and speak her truth and be demanding. She
mm-hmm.
was not a pain in his neck. She was not the thorn in his paw.
Mm-hmm.
So she went home and she died.
Oh.
She had breast cancer, and by the uh-huh. time she came back 6 months later, it had metastasized all over her body. And so her dreams were an early warning sign, but she chose to listen to her doctor over her dreams. And since the dreams and the doctor did not work together, she was the one that suffered for it. So Dr. Larry Burke said, you know what, I'm going to do a study. I'm going to find 20 women whose dreams diagnosed their breast cancer that was later validated by pathology reports by doctors who didn't know anything about the dreams. So it was like a double blind study.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do this research and send it out there. I'm going to dare to be the light in the world. And he did, and he contacted me because he had heard about my first book, Surviving Cancer Land, with the monks and the three crabs and the whole shebang.
Uh-huh.
And so I became one of his research patients, and there are 18 of us, and 9 of us are actually in this book. We're the backbone for Dreams That Can Save Your Life. And when he was done with all of his research that was published in all kinds of medical journals, I said, okay, you've reached the doctors, which is half the battle. Now let's reach the rest of the world. Let's turn this into a book. And so that was the book you read. And he did it. He dared to write a book about this, and it's being received so well.
I am so grateful that you two connected with each other and that you got this book out there. Folks, we're speaking to Kathleen O'Keefe Cavanaugh. She is the co-author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Kathleen, you've got so many stories in the book. Could you share a couple of your favorite stories about the dream and how the person healed?
Sure. I'm going to pick one of the strangest stories in the book that's going to make your listeners go, what?
Okay.
And it's Lynn Anderson, and gosh, I love her. She lives in an Ananda village
uh-huh.
in Assisi, uh-huh. France. And so she had heard about the book that I was writing with Dr. Larry Burke, and I was interviewing some more people from L.A. who live in an Ananda village,
mm-hmm.
and her dream came to me. She said that she was about 22, around that age, very young. She had been diagnosed with uterine cancer. And it was progressive, and it was extreme. She was in stage 4. It had metastasized. The doctors said, she had a 2-year-old child at home,
mm-hmm.
and the doctors said, you need to go get your home in order. There's nothing else we can do. There's no other treatments. Nothing's working. We've tried it all. So go home, get your home in order. You've only got a couple of months left. So she's 22 years old. She's got a 2-year-old child. She's newly married. You know, she hasn't even had her 4th-year anniversary, wedding anniversary
okay.
yet. And she's got to go home, tell her husband that he's going to be raising their child alone, that she's dying.
Uh-huh.
And that night, she has the most amazing dream, Monique. She dreams that she is awakened in her bed
uh-huh.
by a silver spaceship landing in the backyard. And she dreams that she sits up in bed and sees the spaceship and walks out to the backyard, and these little aliens get out of the spaceship. and they walk up to her and they say, you need interferon for your treatment, your cancer treatment. Interferon, remember this. Interferon, go back and tell your doctor. And she's looking at them and they turn around, they march back into the silver spaceship, and they take off. She goes, what? She goes back in, gets back in her bed, and wakes up the next morning going, I dreamed of this spaceship landing in my backyard. I remember, interferon, interferon. She goes back to her doctor, and she says, I had a dream. She had nothing to lose at this point. You know, she wasn't someone who was going, well, he's not going to work with me. She says, I had a dream last night, and these aliens told me I needed to take interferon. And the doctor, like, turned white. And he said, they told you what? She goes, they told me to tell you that I need the drug interferon. Do you know what they're talking about? And he said, well, yes, it's just been released. It's not actually, you know, for use yet. There are a few studies going on, but it's a new chemotherapy. And, you know, you have nothing to lose, so let me make some calls and see if we can get you in the study. Long story short, that was 20 years ago, and she wrote the story in the book. The wow. interferon worked. It reversed her cancer. Uh-huh. And she's alive today.
Wow. Now, did she have difficulty convincing the doctor that this is what she needed? Because interferon is pretty heavy stuff.
No, because she came with the words from the dream. And he's like, how did you know about this? Nobody knows about this. It's not even out yet. And she said, I had a dream. And in the dream, they told me to take interferon. And thank goodness her doctor didn't say, ah, that's crazy, go home. I'll see you, you know, at your funeral. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, let's get you into a study. And she did. You know, and so it's like many of the other stories in this book that were so amazing, where the patients got information in their dreams, because I really believe, Monique, that when we are in a place of crisis, the sacred dream doors to the divine open into this other realm, and our spirit guides and our guardian angels with whom we are uh-huh. born with them. Uh-huh. We're their job, and they take that job seriously. They come through and they give us the information. Then the choice is ours. We're given the information. We're given the opportunity to survive uh-huh. and maybe make a change in the world for the better by sharing our story. But the choice is ours. We are given choices. We can either choose to go and insist on those treatments and trust in our guardian angels, or we can choose to go home like the uh-huh. one woman did. And she's the only one out of the 20 women in the study that died.
Wow. It's amazing. All you have to do is just basically pay attention. But, Kat, what do we do with the person who says, okay, I can't remember my dream. I know I dream, but I just can't remember them. What tools can we share with them so that they can start to tap into their inner selves, their sleeping
well,
selves?
Well, one of the tools is my gift to your listeners today. Just go to my website, and you can download my video, so you don't have to read it. You can just watch it. And it's a video 101 dream course. And it will help you with that. But also, one of the things that I do is I use the words show dream. If you can't remember your dreams, it's an acronym. Each of the letters is part of how you can remember your dreams. And this is in the book, so you don't need to run and get a pencil and paper. You can just listen, and then when you get the book, you can look it up. It's in a chapter in the book. Mm-hmm. Set your intention. That's the S. Set your intention before you go to sleep. Say, I want to dream and remember my dream, because you do already dream. You're just having trouble bringing it out. Sometimes that's because maybe you're too tired when you go to sleep, or you might be on medication. But you can train your mind to pull your dreams out with you when you wake up. The second one is organize yourself before you go to sleep. This is so important, Monique, because if you don't have a pencil and paper or some means to record your dream when you first wake up, you're uh-huh. going to forget it. By the time you disengage from your dream and go search for a pencil, paper, or your cell phone, or whatever you're going to do to record it. And then the D is for dream is dream. Tell yourself you're going to dream. You know you're going to dream because you are. Whether you remember it or not is the second part to it. But you will dream everything dreams, including a fetus in the womb. It has REM, rapid eye movement.
Okay.
Got to be dreaming about the angels. Okay. Then R, remain in your sleep position when you first wake up, because one of the problems is we hop out of bed. Our alarm goes off, and we want to sleep those extra 5 minutes, so we're really on a tight schedule from the time the alarm goes off to get ready to go to work or get the kids fed or get our day going. Give yourself that extra minute, just 1 minute, so that when the alarm goes off, you slowly come up out of your sleep. Don't bolt out of it. Come up very slowly like a meditation, you know, count backwards or whatever, and bring it with you so that, and you do that by staying in your position. Bring it up. Now you're awake. You've got the tail of your dream. It's like a beautiful bird. Just hold on to that tail as you're coming up. And then think about the emotions that you are feeling when you first wake up, because those are the snippets from your dream that are the messages, those things that cause your heart to beat, or maybe you're happy or you're laughing. Then add to that dream memory by asking, okay, what colors were in my dream? What sounds, what words? Did I see people? Were there animals? Did I see signs or symbols, numbers? Did I hear something? And don't worry about being wrong, because if you are wrong, your dream will tell you the next night. So don't worry about that. Relax. Write it down. And then meaning. What do those small parts of the dream mean to you? What are those snippets? If there was a snake there, were you afraid of the snake? What kind of a snake was it? What color was it? And did it seem threatening? Or was it your friend? Because that snake could be the Kundalini, your knowledge that's growing with you, something that has come out of the depths of all your experiences from all your lives, and now it's walking with you in your dream world. Aren't you lucky? So what are the meanings? Underline them. And then finally, give your dream a title, so that if during the day, during a daydream, you get another emotion and remember another snippet, you can add it to your journal. If you've got a title, you know where to put it.
Uh-huh. Okay. In your dream book, you talk about a woman, Athena, I think her name is, and she had, if I remember correctly, she had a dream about sex and it was telling her not to have sex. And she ended up I guess she had a partner that she really had to engage with, but she had an older partner who kind of gave her something. Could you tell us about her?
Yes, actually, Athena is going to be on my show tonight, the Cannabis Show, on the Facebook page, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis fan page live. And she did. The dream was she was asleep. She had broken up with her old boyfriend. She still thought about him a lot, but had moved on. She was dating, and it was getting hot and heavy. And then she had this dream, and in the dream it said, do not have sex. It was a voice, just as she was waking up. And often, early morning dreams are the easiest to remember, and you'll get messages from your spirit guides in those dreams, so you don't have to worry. And she thought, oh, my gosh, why should I not have sex? And as the day progressed, she started getting, you know, something was happening down there. You know, it's kind of like, what's up down there?
Getting her attention.
And got her attention. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, I don't know what's going on down there, but definitely do not have sex for a while till we find out. So they took some pap smears, did some tests, and they found out that she was having an allergic reaction. And so she said, well, to what? And he said, well, I don't know. What have you changed? Have you changed a cream? What have you changed? And she suddenly realized she was using a different brand of tampons. And she was allergic to the glue that they were using in it. And so because she was having this allergic reaction, if she had had sex, it may have pushed that allergy deep inside
into
of her.
Into herself, yeah.
Yes, into herself. And she could possibly have given it to her partner, and he would have said, what did you give me? So as it was, she just said to her partner, I'm not ready yet. I just need to spend more time with you on a personal level before we move into the next level. And during that time, she healed, and he never knew about it. But her dream saved her from having a truly horrific problem.
On many levels, the problem with her physical body and then the problem with a potential partner who would probably mm-hmm. want to leave her because of, you know, yeah. her condition, because that's so touchy, you know, these days. Now, Pat, mm-hmm. what is the difference, or is there a difference between the dreams and intuition?
Well, you know, you can have female, and females have such great female intuition. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of your female intuition. We get hits that nobody else gets because we are left brain. We mm-hmm. are, if the males are the right brain and we are, we're right brain, males are left brain. The two of us together create a whole brain, but one side of the brain is just as important as the other side of the brain. And we have that female intuition. We know what's going on in our bodies. We know when we're pregnant before anybody else does, before we take a test. And so those are hits that we might get during the day, but sometimes that intuition carries over into the night, and we can connect with our spirit guides, our guardian angels, our deceased loved ones, who will give us information that we're a little more open to listening to, which is a shame because I think a lot of men would be so much more successful financially if they connected with their spirit guides who told them, no, don't invest over there. That's yeah. crashing next week. Go invest over here or just take your money out and sit on it for a while. Keep that egg warm. You can reinvest it when things, you know, pan out again. Uh-huh. So, yes. We are intuitive. We're born that way. It's a gift. You know, don't try and give it back. Embrace it.
Okay. And same thing goes for true for like daydreams and visualizing. I mean, if you daydream mm-hmm. about, you know, something not quite right.
You know, and daydreams are so important because some of us don't have a real hard time remembering our dreams at night because we might be on medications for different things. And the medications could suppress our memory of the dreams because a lot of medications work on different parts of the brain. And when you dream, your whole brain is involved. Like certain parts of our body might just be part of our brain, but when we dream, our whole brain is involved. And so when we get those hits during the day, during a daydream, they're just as important as our night dreams. Write them down. There are actually companies in the Silicon Valley who require their employees to daydream 20% of their working day because that's when they get their best ideas. So if these multi-million dollar companies are doing this, we should all be doing this. That's validation right there.
It should be, and if, you know, corporate America can embrace it, guess what, folks? There's mm-hmm. something there. Why do so many people, they have a dream at night, and then during the day, they hear their name being called? And it's so real. It's, you know, you turn around and you look to see who's calling you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we're so busy, it's the only way they can kind of get in touch with us. I call it the cocktail party syndrome. Mm-hmm. or effect. And you know how when you walk into a cocktail party and there's all this noise going on, or any party anywhere, an event, then people are in small groups talking and you've got a very high noise level and you're standing in the group talking to people and suddenly all the way across the room in another little group you hear your name or the name of your ex-lover. And it's like your ear drops to the floor and crawls across the floor and, you know, comes up in the middle of their group. You're still smiling and nodding to the group of people you're with, but your concentration and your ear is in that other group all the way across the room, and you have cut out all the other noise in the room. The same thing happens in our dreams. You know, you have so much going on in the dreams. It's like a five-tent circus going on, but your name or the name of a loved one, when that's spoken to you, suddenly centers your focus onto whatever it is your spirit guides, guardian angels, or dream wants you to focus on. And you do, just automatically. and then they can give you the information that you need and know that you are focused. So, you know, they're pretty smart. Call your name, and boom, you got them.
Yeah, that gets your attention. It definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the folks in Greece and Egypt, the ancient days, they really relied on dreams to diagnose illnesses. Could you share some of that with us? And do you know about when we stopped as a, you know, world society, stopped paying attention to our dreams for illness?
Well, I'm not sure when we stopped, but I have a feeling it was when we thought we were too smart to listen to dreams anymore, that we were only going to focus on what we could see, feel, and have researched using the latest medical techniques and instruments, which we're finding don't always work. You know, medicine goes so far, and then comes God or our inner power or our higher power, and that's what happened with the 40 people in this book. The medical industry pretty much let them down and said, well, you know, our tests are you know, perfect. And they weren't. So it all began back in ancient Egypt like 4,000 years ago with Imhotep, who was the high priest to the god Ra.
Uh-huh.
And they started with these dreaming temples, which became the Asclepian temples in Greece. And these dreaming temples are where people who had problems, whether they were physical problems, health issues, maybe a woman couldn't get pregnant, maybe a man wanted to know if he should invest his money in something that was going on. They would come to these temples, these dreaming temples, and they would actually lie down on the floor with the priest. It was quite expensive, even for them back then.
Wow.
And they would dream in tandem. Something like what happened with you and your doctor.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they would have a dream, and then they would discuss the dream. They would write it down. It was like a four-step process. They would go there. They would get the priest. They would sleep all night. They would write down their dream and take that dream to somebody who could interpret the dreams. Although usually when they woke up, the people woke up and the priest woke up, they had a pretty good idea of what it meant, but then they would go to someone who could interpret dreams to get the details, you know, that I talked about, underline what colors, what did you, those details, those snippets. And that is how they would solve difficult problems that didn't seem to have an answer on the earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
And not, many of those temples actually still exist today, and they become health spas. People still go there, and they dream while they're undergoing, you know, spa treatments, because there's an energy there at that in that vortex that opens up the sacred dream doors to the divine, and they receive their information. It was when we became modern, quote-unquote, medicine, that we decided to lock the dreams away because they couldn't be validated. But as I said earlier, and you said with the book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, the dreams, every single dream in this book was validated by a pathology report. So our hope is that the medical industry will realize that what Dr. Jung and Dr. Freud started, we've picked up and gone the next step to, showing there is a way to find early signs of disease or conditions that go beyond modern medicine that began 4,000 years ago or earlier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks, I have to say that the book is a very easy read. It's like a page turner, okay? You get a lot of information. Okay. However, it's easy to digest. You could sit down and read the book in a couple of sittings if you're an avid reader, or if not, it might take you a little bit longer. But these stories will resonate with you, and you will think back to stories that people have told you and say, oh, if they had paid attention to this, maybe XYZ wouldn't have happened to them. So it's a great book to get on dreams. Very different. It can truly, truly save your life. Now, Kat, in your book, you talk about re-entering your dream to retrieve information. Mm-hmm. How does that work, and why is that so important?
Well, let's say it's a weekend, okay, and you don't have to jump out of bed and do a bunch of stuff right away. You don't have to get dressed, go to work. Mm-hmm. And you wake up and you go, oh my gosh, you know, that was so interesting. I think that there was a message in there. I need to get more information. If you lie back down in the bed in your same position, close your eyes and relax, and just focus on the last thing you remember, you can often slide back into that dream and continue to dream. Now it's a lucid dream. Uh-huh. And you can either change the ending or retrieve your information and bring it back out with you. And you can also do that if, let's say, 2 days later, you go, you know, this dream is really sticking with me, and there must be something else to it. And you set your intention before you go to sleep, and you have all your stuff organized before you go to sleep, mm-hmm. and then you put yourself back in that same position, and you slide back into that dream, and you set the intention to get answers to your previous dream. Mm-hmm. You will often do that. In one of the stories in the book, this woman received a diagnostic dream saying, you know, it used signs and symbols. And she woke up and she said, I don't understand what you were trying to tell me in the dream. I just don't understand this. I don't get it. Can you give me another dream to explain it better? And the next night, she went back into that dream, and her spirit guide took her to a graveyard in Ireland and pointed to a grave and said, uh-huh. Do you see those daisies? And she said, yeah. He said, if you don't decipher that previous dream and go to the doctor, you're going to be the one pushing up those daisies. So you don't have to kind of figure that one out. Uh-huh. So sometimes you have to go back into your dream, re-enter the dream, to get answers to what the previous dream was. And I did that a lot. And you can do it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do that with a dream that I had about my grandmother who had passed on. And this is a while ago, so it'll be interesting to see if I can tap back into it. But, you know, we were talking, and then all of a sudden she said, well, dear, are you ready to come to me now? And I'm like, hell no. And I woke up.
Oh, my goodness. Was that before or after the dream about your intestines?
That was before, long before.
There you go. There you go, though. That could have been a precognitive dream.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That was a precognitive dream. I had a similar one where my mom came into my dream. She had passed about 4 months earlier at that time, mm-hmm. 5 months earlier. She popped into my dream. She took both of my hands. And she said, you are going to be just fine. And I woke up, it was an early morning dream, and I thought, well, why wouldn't I be just fine? I'm healthy. What is up with that? Uh-huh. And then the nightmare started, and then boom, I was in stage 2 cancer. 5 years later, 9x11 centimeter tumor that the doctors missed with mammograms again. And then the third one where they even missed with an MRI, it was during the double mastectomy. So you, my friend, had a precognitive dream.
And I kind of knew something was up, but I didn't know what. And I kept thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, I'm not ready to go yet. I mm-hmm. didn't get intuitively that this was a time, you know, to release and go. And I'm like, what is she mm-hmm. talking about? So she must have been just checking in and, you know, looking at me and saying, hey, need to pay attention, girl. And, of mm-hmm. course, I didn't know what mm-hmm. to pay attention to. So, folks, another reason why it's so important to, you know, take stock of your dreams, take stock of what's going on. You know, leave the TV alone for 5 minutes or, you know, an hour a day mm-hmm. at least, and go within and, you know, pay attention to yourself. Now, Kat, you've got a wonderful radio show. Tell us about that, and then also tell us about your website.
Well, my radio show is the Kat Cannabis Show, K-A-T. Kat Cannabis, K-A-N-A-B-O-S, show. And it's on tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And you can go to my fan Facebook page, which is the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis page, and it's live there. It's video. So you get to watch Athena, who had the dream, do not have sex. She's going to be on tonight with two other people that are in the dream book, because it's part of the IASD, International Association for the Study of Dreams, event that's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona, June 16th. And so I was interviewing all the keynote speakers, and it's the biggest dream event in the whole world. And it's going to be, wow, in Scottsdale. And so I'm going to be interviewing the three people that happen to be in our book and are also going to be presenting at this event on the panel. So I'm going to be interviewing them. So tune in. Just go to my fan page and wait for the show to come live. And it's a podcast. It's a video podcast. So I will be sharing it. And then my Facebook page, my website is Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. com, and you can also find me if you put in your search bar the Queen of Dreams.
Oh, I like
that column. Yeah, the Queen of Dreams. It's a column I had in one of the magazines, and that will get you there, and you can get your free gift, and you can also order the book right from there.
Okay, and folks, go get the book. If there's one thing that you do this month to take care of yourself, go get this book and read it, okay? And then start paying attention to your dreams, because it's going to help you immensely. Kat, we're at the end of our time together, but what pearls of wisdom would you like to share with our audience? And please remind them about your wonderful gift.
Yes, make sure you go to my website, because I'm all about video. I love video. I love to look at people, and I know that they like to watch and also read.
And folks, she's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. So go to my website and download for free. Just put in Get Over It Radio Show in with the box that it requires. And then you can download for free a Video Dream 101 course. And the one thing I want to leave with you is many of the women also, who put the dream book next to their bed and put the pencil and paper on the book, started having dreams, and they hadn't dreamed in years since they were,
wow,
children. So there's power in this book. There's dream power in this book. And remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives.
All right. Well, Kat, thank you very much for being with me today. And the audience, I appreciate you being with me. The divine in me
thank
honors
you.
The divine in you. You're welcome. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make the call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of remembering your dreams, because they can save your life. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.